And the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah replied, I've been very zealous. And that's it. He said, I've been very zealous for the Lord. You know that Elijah ran away. He ran as far as he could. I mean, many, many miles away from where he should have been. And he says, hey, Lord, you know my story. It's like, I mean, you know me, Lord. I've been very zealous for the Lord Almighty. You know these people, Israel, you know the church, they have broken down your altars, they've rejected your covenant and put your prophets to death. I'm tired, Lord. They've even killed us with a sword. I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. I'm done. You know, you can just read between the lines. And the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord. For the Lord is about to pass by, perhaps, as you heard earlier. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. I mean, can you imagine how dramatic that is? And they said, but the Lord was not on the wind. And sometimes we're expecting some like cataclysmic thing. And he said, I'm not on the wind. He said, well, who was that, you know, that did that? Be asking that question, well, if that's not you, what's happening here, you know? And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. You know, this man loved, Elijah just loved thunder, and he called down fire from heaven, and he slaughtered prophets. This was a guy that laid on dead bodies and breathed upon them. He was an incredibly powerful man of signs and wonders. That was his bread and butter. I mean, significant miracles. He was one of the great. He wasn't just a prophet. He was a miracle worker. If you said to him, come down from the mountain, he says, if the Lord is with me, you know, if God is with me and I'm a man of God, let the fire fall down and consume me. And 50 soldiers would just be consumed. This is a weighty man. This is a man that knew God. But the Lord was not on the earthquake, because that's what he loved in a sense. After the earthquake came the fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Can you imagine what's going on in this mountain? And after that came a gentle whisper. That God is a speaking God. We want stuff. We want cataclysmic events. We want signs and wonders and power. But God said, no, you're made in my image. I'm a speaking God. I see, I hear, I speak, I smell, I touch, I go. It's almost like God is saying, I want to speak to you this weekend. And sometimes when God wants to speak, say, no, hold on, Lord, you don't know my story. You don't know where I've been. You don't know my business, my wife, my children, myself, my struggles, my sins. Elijah heard it. He pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Isn't that a beautiful picture? And the voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And perhaps even for you this weekend, you might think, God wants to speak to me. I've got some business to do. You know, he wants to speak to you. He wants to touch you. He wants you to come out of the thing that's caught you by the ankle or the angst in your heart. He wants you to be free. Oh, Lord, I've been very zealous and for you. Because again, the Lord says, what are you doing here? And he repeats the whole thing. They want to kill the guys, the prophets. I'm the only one left. The Lord said to him, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint this guy. And it goes on to give him a whole lot of instructions. He said, I've reserved seven. You're not just the only one. There's 7,000 I've reserved for myself. I'm doing a greater work. In a picture of the river that came earlier, I had this picture. God wants to, you know, as you go ankle deep, he's going to say, come. I want you to go deeper. Knee deep. Oh, it's like getting wet here. Thigh deep. This is almost dangerous. And then he wants you to go so deep that you can't cross the river. That's what he wants from you. I know he wants to touch us. I know he wants to minister to us. I know he wants to soothe my disturbed soul. But what he also wants to do is he wants to send you on a journey. He wants to send you. He wants to use you. He wants you to send you to a place that it's, it's dead. And actually, when you go with him, where the river flows. And so maybe I can just pray. And Father, I thank you, you're a speaking God. And I know, Lord, this weekend you're going to speak to some people. And maybe somebody's expecting a theophany, a burning bush experience, thunder, lightning, earthquakes, massive winds. But you're going to whisper. And that whisper is going to be so profound for some people. And I ask you to speak to us, Lord. Even us that are visiting, the Barigas and the Hardys that are visiting, I ask you to speak to us by your Spirit. Tell us, Lord. We want to put our cloak over our head as a sign of submission and wonder and trembling before you. You're not a part-time lover. You're not a God that does Sunday church. You're not a God that just, you want all or nothing. Because you gave everything. And you said we should lay down our lives for you. And so, Lord, we lay aside our reasons and our excuses and even our pain and our questions. And we say, Lord, I'm going to put our cloak over our head and we want you to speak to us. And probably, God, you're going to whisper. And even now, I feel God is whispering to some of you. Saying, Lord, what do you want to say? He's going to whisper to you. He's going to whisper things that he told you before. He might whisper new things. But let this be a beautiful weekend for you. Not just another church camp. We've done that. Great. We can go back Monday and watch the Olympics if that's what you want to do. But I know some don't because they're offended. But let it be a weekend where actually you encounter the voice of God to you personally. And Father, I pray that even as we're all the same, Lord, we've all got a reason to be up the mountain. But won't you commission us like you did this amazing prophet, Lord? Won't you send us back where we should be, some of us, God, in the front lines of the faith, worshiping you, praising you, giving you everything. Forgiving those that hurt us, those that disappointed us, those that maybe said things to us, where we saw a church go wrong or a leader mess up or a movement embrace heresy and we're just done. And we're saying, hey, Lord, I can't do this anymore. And then you call us once again. Call us once again, Lord. I pray you light a fire in our hearts. I pray, Lord, that this Bridge Church would experience the fire and the passion and the zeal of God like they have never experienced. I pray, Lord, you would breathe your fire over us and your wind over us, as well as your beautiful, magnificent whisper in the quiet of this camp. Sometimes you're going to speak to us and you're going to remind us, son, daughter, that's what I said to you. And as we go back, Lord, we will go back to the things that you have said and you've called us to. So speak, Lord. To your people, speak to this beautiful church, the Bridge Church. Unlock some hearts. We lay aside our arguments. I lay aside my pain, Lord, perhaps my hurts, perhaps the reasons why. We cover our heads in honor to you. We put our cloaks over our heads. In submission to you, Lord. Oh, build your church through us, Jesus. If not us, you're going to do with somebody else because you have covenanted to build your church. But we're lifting up our fragile hands and saying, pick me, God. Well, some of you, you're going to see God move upon your children this week. Some of these little youngsters running around, some of these boys and girls, God is going to do something this weekend upon those kids that you'll think, wow, and you won't even know that it's happened. But he will do something to your children and you'll stand back one day and think, wow, God, you are good. So run, river, run. We come into the river, Lord, wading in. Knee deep, ankle deep, ankle deep, knee deep, thigh deep, waist deep. And now let the rushing river take us to where you want to take us. Magnificent Son of God, Son of the living God. Come wash upon your beautiful church, Lord. Blow like a wind across this, this auditorium tonight. Light a fire on our heads. Touch our mouths with your coal from the altar, that we may proclaim, Lord. Wash our eyes with salve, Lord. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Let your feet begin to move with a commission and the word of God over your lives. Father, if your, or should I say Jesus, if your friend that lay on your bosom, the Apostle John, when he saw you in your glorious state, fall as though dead, how glorious must you be? How utterly magnificent must you be? Won't you reveal Spirit, the Son, to some of us this weekend, that you are utterly magnificent and glorious. No sun needed, Lord. That your eyes blaze like fire, Lord. That your clothes are so bright, they're like shining out. Your feet burning, Lord, with the gospel. Come, Holy Spirit, and revive us. Take religious garments off of us. Scales off our eyes, Lord. Some of us, Lord, our mouths have said things. We ask you to touch our mouths with a coal from your altar. Otherwise, we will be ruined, like Isaiah said. If you could take such trouble to speak to one man on the top of a mountain, in the face of earthquakes and wind and fire and rocks, and then you would whisper, how much more to your beloved bride here? Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening.
The one scripture I've had on my heart the whole week is Matthew 13, the parable of the sower. And I think I was sitting listening to Nick and Peter's word before that, just smiling. Because I think what I felt in my heart's this, that, I mean, we even sang it, didn't we? That his love chases after us continually. And his will for our lives is so much more. And you know, as Nick said, it doesn't come in this big moment sometimes. It comes in a seed. Something that may look small and insignificant and dead, maybe even. But plant that into fertile soil of our hearts, and it has a promise of life and hope and a future and a whole lot more than what we're living in. And I felt God's going to come and do that this weekend. And the soil of our hearts sometimes can look like dirt. Why don't you trust him this weekend? Let him bring his seed, his word, to challenge your heart. Plant it in the dirt of your life and see the miraculous multiplication of his seed, because it is. Those words will come and challenge some of our pathways. I felt that this week. Pathways are the way we're used to doing things. And it may even be what Nick referred to, our past experiences and our past hurts. And we've been up and down that pathway and around that mountain so often. There's this well-trodden path that we're so comfortable in walking. God's word to some of us this weekend is going to challenge that very pathway. And the challenge is going to be to break up the hardness of that, so that the dirt underneath can be used for the glory of his name and the furthering of his kingdom. For some of us, it's going to challenge some of the rocks of offense that we've taken. Maybe through past leaders, maybe through past churches, maybe through people. Maybe like Joseph, your brothers sold you into a pit. It's going to challenge that. And to make that soil of our hearts fertile, we have to remove some of those things and say, Lord, I'm going to shift this aside. Bring what you're saying to me, what you're challenging me with, which may be 100 different things to 100 different people. But God's going to speak this weekend to you and to me. And that's the challenge. And the third one was the cares of the world. Sometimes God will challenge you on a weekend like this, and you'll go back on Monday and then face the reality of, am I going to stick with this? Because it's going to challenge these cares that are going to come and weigh so heavily on me. Can we prepare our hearts even tonight and say, Lord, the dirt of my heart, as far as it depends on me, Lord, I want to prepare it so that your seed, your life-giving seed may come and be planted into my heart, so that your preferred future for me may grow and multiply, and that I may live in the more of the fullness, Jesus, that you died for me to live in. Is that okay? Lord, thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you for your mercy poured out upon us. Thank you that we may know you and call you King. Thank you that you stick closer than a brother. Thank you that you're intentional about every single life you've created, and you have plans and purposes for them, Lord. And in a weekend like this, we know, we may not know a lot, Lord, but I know this, you're going to come and speak and want to speak life-giving, life-changing explosion potential in the words you'll speak if we just take them, plant them in the soil of our hearts and protect them so that they may produce 30, 60, and 100-fold for the glory of your name and the furthering of your kingdom. Thank you for your words, Lord. Amen.